Okay, so then we wrote a program to calculate the energy K relationship for the Cronin-Penney model. And let's see if I can start my program. So at the top is the definition of the problem, and then there's this part will calculate the solution for the Cronin-Penney model. And down here is the derivation that I put on the slides. And one point that I guess I forgot to put on the slides is this final answer. You get the K versus alpha dispersion relationship here. And alpha depends on the K1 and K2, and A and B is comes from the geometry at the top. So A and B are up here. Oops. And K1 and K2 depend on the energies. So if you know the energy, you can calculate the wavelength of the solutions in region 1 and the wavelength in region 2. Those come into this parameter alpha. If you know the parameter alpha, you can calculate the K that goes with it. So you start out with the energy and you get the K that comes out. And that lets you draw this dispersion curve. Okay, so let's start out by just saying that V1 and V2 are both zero, because then I don't have a periodic, you see the drawing at the top, I don't have a periodic structure anymore, I just have free electrons. And then I get the empty lattice approximation here, and this Von Hove singularity in the density of states. So to the right is the density of states, and I get this 1 over the square root of energy here. So now I make a small periodic structure. And with a small periodic structure, now there's a band gap appears here. So there's a range of energies where the electrons will get reflected out, and you see that in the density of states as well. There's this peak of the density of states here where there's a lot of states all with the same energy. So K is changing, but energy is staying almost the same. So you get this big peak here. You get another peak there where it bends over and hits the Brionzo boundary at 90 degrees. Then there's a band gap. There's a range of energies that electrons can't have in this crystal. And then another one of these singularities, and it goes on, but kind of following the free electron 1 over the square root of E solution otherwise, because over here in the dispersion relationship, it's still following pretty much the density of the dispersion relationship for a free electron case. Then when this parabola gets to an energy where the solution hits another Brionzo boundary, you get another gap. You get another gap over there. So now I make this higher. So I get a larger potential. And with a larger potential, I get a larger band gap. This band gap here grows with the size of the potential. And if you look now, the size of the potential is about is 5 electron volts. You see it in the upper left. And the size of the gap is also 5 electron volts. This depends a little bit on the shape of the potential, but it's more or less right. If you know the amplitude of the periodic potential, you can guess how big the band gap is. They're about the same. It depends a little bit on the shape. I can show that if I make this, smaller. So, whoops, that won't work. So now I make the potential, one part is very thin. Although it has an amplitude of 5, this part, the band gap is now smaller than 5 when I make it pretty narrow like that. But if you have more or less a sinusoidal thing, potential, you get a band gap that's about the size of the potential. All right, so this program draws the dispersion relationship, calculates the density of states, and also gives it as data. So there's three columns of data. There's energy. It calculates this alpha factor for us. It gives us the k, the wave number, as multiplied by a, because in this problem it normalizes things. So this axis, in this one-dimensional problem, this axis is ka, so right here is pi. And so if I just plotted this axis as k, this point at the Brillouin zone boundary would be pi over a. I multiply by a, and then ka is pi at the boundary. So, but this column is k, and then it plots the density of states. So you get at first the density of states is zero for a long time here. Oh, and then this is ka, and this is the density of states. Okay. So there is in this derivation here, there's an eigenvalue, and the eigenvalue that we calculate tells us how big the solution grows or decays. So this for a translation operator, where? If you have a translation operator and it acts on the wave function like this, and we know and we've calculated the eigenfunctions of the translation operator, then we're going to get lambda times this wave function back. This is what the translation operator does with one of its eigenvalues. And this value lambda, which I calculated by diagonalizing that the matrix up there, the lambda can be written in a form like this, e to the I k a. And that is and this line. So I took the eigenvalues, and I write them as e to the ika, and this is where the k comes in, because when we take a solution of block form, if it looks like e to the ikx times some periodic function, and we apply the translation operator, then what happens is you get e to the ika times the wave function back again. You get a periodic function times the wave function. And this k is related to the eigenvalues like this. So I found those lambdas by diagonalizing the matrix, and I used this expression to define the k, and I got it out like that.